Man of the year, man of the year, man of the year. Welcome to the number one friendship podcast in the country. I'm Matt Ritter.
I'm Aaron Cairo.
Guys, go to manoftheyearpodcast.com and buy some merch. By the way, we've had some big purchases on the merch lately. Should we give a little shout out now or do that at the end?
Let's shout out now. Eric Lang, we love you. Guys buying more merch than anybody else. This guy walking around in full gear.
I love it. Head to toe. Man of the year gear. And you can check out our YouTube page. We got a lot of fun stuff on there too. So Cairo, you know what I love about our friendship? We've been friends for 37 years, but we're still making new memories. And I think it's important. I don't think we've ever talked about this on the pod. I feel that a lot of friendships fall into this rut of just kind of like reminiscing. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I do think it's important that no matter how long your friendship is, you really want to make new memories. And I think actually I stole that from Jay Shetty, who's great. I love Jay Shetty. Shout out Jay Shetty. He was talking about old, new, and new, old as a concept. When he meets an old friend, he tries to make new memories instead of just reminiscing. And when he meets somebody new, he tries to find something to connect on a deeper level that they share with them from the past. And I just like the way he kind of talked about generally the idea of making memories with people as a sort of core tenet of friendship.
Tell our listeners who may not be familiar who Jay Shetty is.
He's this beautifully blue-eyed former monk who has really carved out an incredible space as a sort of thought leader of, you know, positivity and inspiration and kind of just living your best, healthiest life with intentionality.
Is it, I don't know much about being a monk, but like, is it okay to go from monk to like, I'm sure he's a multi-millionaire now.
I'm sure the true monks hate his guts. No. The true monks have no idea who he is and never will.
I don't think monks are Amish. I think they have access to the internet.
You think they are? They're just like on IG. Actually, I do see a lot of monks on Instagram.
I mean, I can't even get away from
the Lama has a great IG page. Shout out Lama. Dalai Lama.
Dalai Lama is the world's first influencer.
Yeah. Dalai Lama, IG.
He's always dropping stuff. He's probably got
Dalai Lama is, of course, he's not like Matt Ritter one. He got Dalai Lama. They have a lot of funds to buy out whoever was Dalai Lama originally, probably.
If the Dalai Lama had Dalai Lama one, that'd be the greatest.
Imagine if he had Dalai Lama 69.
Dalai Lama one. Oh my God.
So yeah, so Jay Shetty, he's a great author and just inspired. I'm sure anybody who has social media knows who Jay Shetty is. So if they're listening to us, they know who Jay Shetty is. But if you don't, I think he's, you know, worth a listen. But just to this point, you gotta be living in the moment. I don't know. I feel very strongly that too many friendships are about reminiscing, reliving, just you get together with somebody and you just immediately are like, yeah, remember that thing that happened? If you recall, I think Tony Soprano had the best quote. He said, reminiscing was the lowest form of conversation.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. He was like in that moment. It was like later on in the show where he was like hating his like friend group, you know, just because they all like were sucking up to him. I don't know if you remember, they would like slow it down and he'd see them all like laughing at his bad joke. He'd like deliberately tell a bad joke and they would all be laughing. And then he would just get pissed. You know, he'd see Paulie just be like, you remember that time? He's like, yeah, I fucking remember the time.
I got to kill for everyone to laugh at my jokes. Yes.
But what do you think about that?
We went from Jay Shetty to Tony Soprano. I think that we have
that's what our podcast is. We have range.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We tend to get in these friendship ruts where we're doing the same thing over and over again. We're living in the past. And of course, that is great. I mean, one of the great things about having someone I've known since second grade is I think on our last podcast, I made a reference to a kickball game we played in 1989.
Yeah, Joey Buffalino, huge boot.
But you do have to look forward and make new memories because that's what keeps the friendship fresh.
Right. Like if I ask you right now on the spot, I'm going to ask you on the spot, what is a great recent memory you and I have had?
I mean, we went to Sundance a couple months ago.
Boom.
That was
I was going to say Super Bowl.
Oh,
that was Super an epic Bowl. One.
Yeah, Super Bowl was
amazing. I mean, that's 2 years ago now, but my point is that I don't have to go back like 15 years, 20 years to go, I have a good memory of something. But the point is that I think, I want to get into how we make memories. Like, that sounds like, I don't know, maybe easier said than done. So I thought maybe we could give tips on how to, you know, have a time with a friend, old or new, that will create a memory. Because I do think part of the way that you feel about a friend is a high degree of correlation to how many fond memories you have. And so the more memories you can create, the better feelings you're creating about that friendship.
I think one simple little hack is you just say to your buddy, hey, let's switch things up. So always doing the same thing. You're always going to the same restaurant. You always have the same. And by the way, we extol embracing consistency with your friends and having a regular meeting time. That's great. But every once in a while, let's switch things up.
So shout out to Jesse's friend, Ray, who was at our house recently. And he said he's got this boy band. That's what they call their crew, his friendship crew of many, many years. And okay. They have a Sunday brunch. I think I want to say weekly standing brunch. They live in the Bay. Weekly standing brunch, years and years. But sometimes they have to switch it up. So what they do is either switch the venue or bring in some outsiders.
Whoa. Wait.
So it's open. Like, you're allowed to bring other people sometimes.
Oh, okay. Got it. I see. It's not like our Man of the Year dinner.
Right. It's not like, because it's weekly, you know? So it's like, that's a good way for them to keep it fresh.
Right. That's so great. Because, yeah.
No, go on.
No, just like the idea of, that's something really appealing to me. Like, oh, I have this thing and I could bring other people. Actually, the only thing is I wouldn't like when other people brought people, but you have to.
But that's why I think what they're doing is great. I think it's like an occasional bring other people, not like, because like, we have our weekly thing and we have our core and we talk about our thing and we do our things. But every now and then, I don't know how often they do that, but every now and then they mix it up. I got a friend in town, bring him to our brunch, bring him to our thing.
Right. Another easy way to switch things up, make new memories, is travel. So if you're always hanging out with your crew, if you're fortunate to have a crew where you live and you're always in your town, you got to do a little trip, boys trip, girls trip.
Take it one step further. I think most memorable friendships, that is the thing that they have a lot of the memories are based on trips.
By the way, I have a memory from traveling that I wasn't even there, which was of your famous, and I don't think you'll have a problem telling it, but your famous look when you swung your suitcase.
We should not talk about that.
Oh, really? I thought that was very, very, very benign. Anyway, just Matt rushing to the airport in typical fashion and things went awry. And I wasn't even there, but I've heard it so many times.
I knocked a child down with a suitcase. Fine. I'll admit it. It was years and years ago. But now that I have a child, I'm like, oh my God, I should have gotten arrested. It was a soft shell.
It wasn't the hard shell like we talked about.
If you recall, I was so poor that I didn't have a rolling suitcase. I didn't even have a suitcase. I had a duffel bag. So I think he flopped.
He was a flop. He was a flopper. I love that. Yeah. So you were saying, yeah, travel is like, you know, half your memories. Yeah.
But again, this podcast isn't about, oh, you have to spend a lot of money to build friendships or maintain them. You can take a trip in your own town, in your own city. You can, you know what I mean? Like, you can do things that are.
I thought you were going to say, remember when Al Bundy took a staycation?
Oh, yeah. Well, didn't he go to the grocery store and they like.
No, he put a little. This is from Married with Children. He put a little fence around the couch.
Oh, that's amazing. No, there was another episode where I thought it was them where they took a vacation to the grocery store and they were hanging out in the cold food aisle.
Yes. Like, yes.
That was their ski trip.
Yes. Oh my God.
Shout out Al Bundy. What a legend.
So I think I interrupted you. You were talking about going somewhere in your home.
Yeah. That you don't have to, you can quote unquote travel an hour outside of your city. And that's a trip. Like,
right.
You can take a day trip. There's we live in LA. There's an endless amount of things you can do and get home by dinner.
Right. Right. Because there's a big difference between a full day trip and even an overnight trip.
I agree. But the point is you can make memories on a day trip.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Yeah. I wonder if we could take a moment to take the converse of Jay Shetty's thing, which is when you meet a new friend, you should try to find some old memories in common. I actually want to take this opportunity to shout my buddy who put this idea in my head is my buddy, Devin Keane. He writes a newsletter called Build Better about making relationships. It's build-better.io. And he's a new friend. And we have been exploring kind of our similarities, you know.
I do like that.
Yeah. He lives in New York. We both have email newsletters. But, you know, when I first read this, I almost thought, isn't that what everybody does when they make a new friend?
They should.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. I don't know that everyone does, but I was thinking about, you do generally tend to search for common ground, but I like the idea of searching for common ground amongst the nostalgia, like for certain time periods in your life or music or movies, you know, maybe more than just where you're from, like, you know, the basics of like the.
But is that, you know, we talked about the concept a few episodes ago, I believe it was called homophily, which is that people tend to congregate with people of similar backgrounds. If you're only going to hang out with people who like Bush and are Jews from Long Island, you're not going to have like a very diverse friend group.
Yeah. I mean, look, this isn't the only way. This is just a way that is successful.
Right.
Right. This is a method to immediately kind of initiate that thing of a good feeling, immediate kind of first impression. You know, a lot of our friendship formation is about how we feel, like just a vibe, something that we just like, I like that guy. I want to see him again. What makes you go, I want to see that person again? You know, either they're like positive and fun and funny, or, you know, you share an interest in something or just some feeling that you got. And so if you don't, you know, share a whatever common job, or you're not both big golfers, but, you know, you both just really happen to find Dumb and Dumber funny, you know, or you both happen to be at Coachella 10 years ago when something funny happened. And for whatever reason, that's the spark. Then you can take your friendship in any number of directions, and it's going to blossom or not blossom based on a lot of factors.
What did you just say? It sparked something in me about when you meet someone and you want them to feel like, oh, that was a good guy. How did you word that when you meet someone new?
You're asking me to quote myself here. I'm not sure.
It was something about like how you give someone make a good first impression.
Yeah.
And a couple of things I've been thinking about lately when you're meeting a new friend is one, to be curious.
Curious is great.
Yeah. People love when you ask questions and you actually care and you get to know someone. And also we talked about this a little bit last episode, but also being helpful.
Yeah. You know, I love being helpful. I love being curious.
Offering a drive.
Can I tell you something that I've been doing lately? And this is a hack that I'm using because of our podcast.
Okay.
A lot of my new interactions, whether it be strangers or even business meetings, I did it on a general meeting yesterday. Because of our podcast, it gives me the freedom to ask people about their friends in a very organic way. So a lot of my conversations are always like, oh, do you have any traditions that you do with your friends? That's like one of my openers now. And I find people light up when they're talking about their old friends from childhood. I'm just like, who's your oldest friend? Like I have given myself the freedom to ask a very non-traditional sort of openers when I'm talking to strangers because of the pod. And it's just really interesting to see that question usually solicits a very positive response. Elicits.
Yeah, that's great. People love to talk about their friends. I mean, who doesn't like talking
about friends? But if they don't have a lot of friends, then maybe it's harder, you know? And then sometimes you get into a thing where it's like, yeah, you know, I used to have a lot of friends, now I don't. And then I go, well, you should obviously be listening to our podcast.
So what if you make a new friend, you're trying to make old memories, but you're a different age, you don't have the same taste in pop culture and you're not from the same place, what other common ground do people have?
Well, there's history, right? I don't know. There's like human history, but you're saying that we only remember the same pop culture stuff. But what about non-pop culture stuff?
Well, what do you mean? Like, where were you on 9/11?
You said it, not me, brother. I walked you right into that one.
I thought you also meant like, oh, what do you think about the Roman Empire?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, like there's other historical, not pop culture stuff that you sort of.
Or, you know, right. I was going to say the news, but that's by definition, yeah, not an old memory.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's definitely like the memory trick works better on people in your same gen.
Yeah.
Like that's definitely more for people that are going to have the same sort of feelings about, you know, some event that it was seminal for that age demo. Right.
Right.
Like everybody from our age group, like musically, you know, like Nirvana, Kurt Cobain, you know, that era, right, we're going to have like, right, a certain feeling about that, or like Tarantino because of our age, you know, like, yeah, when Pulp Fiction came out. Whereas somebody who's 20 years older, like they may have everybody their age demo probably has a stronger sort of feeling about Chinatown, the movie or something, you know, or like musically, I find that like Jess's dad and like all of his friends, like AC/DC has a lot stronger of a, you know, feeling for those guys.
And we'll be right back. All right, guys, this is Asking for a Friend. If you have a friendship question or ethical dilemma, send it to us on Instagram at Man of the Year Podcast, and we will answer it on the show.
So this is sort of the reason that I decided to do this episode about memories, because we got a question about memories. Okay. So this person wrote, "Dear Matt and Kiro, I have a lot of friends that go back a long time, and I find that a lot of our conversations are about reminiscing. Here's my big problem. I actually don't really remember most of the things they're talking about, so I feel stupid because I'm sitting around pretending I remember things that I sort of vaguely remember. I'm not even sure if they really happened anymore. Am I being a bad friend? Should I start making new friends? Help. I don't really know what to do about this."
First of all, was this signed Tony Soprano? I'm a little worried that maybe they need to go to a doctor if they're not, can't remember anything that happened in their life.
I don't know. I'll push back on that. That happens to me sometimes. Like
sometimes.
So long ago, it's like, do you even really remember if any of it's real anymore?
Well, of course, as we know, memories are completely inaccurate.
Right. What's the core of this question? What are they really saying here? I think we have to get to.
Sounds like this friend group is, well, if you take it at its face value, this friend group is stuck in the past. They're doing exactly what we sort of said not to do, which is, right, only look backward. Don't look forward. Do the same things over and over again. Glory days. It's like an, right, aging athlete.
Right.
But I think if I was going to channel Captain Nuance, which is you, well, what is this person saying? Have they outgrown this friend group? Do they not have a good childhood and therefore they've buried it? You know, right, is there something deeper going on?
Right. And it sounds to me, just from the limited context, that it's a kind of like an old school group that goes back a long way. And a lot of times when you get together with those old groups, that's what you tend to fall into. That's the pattern of an old crew of dudes. Right. This is something we do a lot. And so part of this episode was saying, hey, maybe you could still do that, but break it up a little bit with remembering, like, hey, we want this friendship to progress and continue to stay dynamic. Right. And I think what this person's saying is that they've suddenly felt what we're talking about. Right. There's that's why I decided to use this episode, frankly, because I realized, like, oh, that happens to me sometimes too. That happens to all of us, I think. It's very relatable to go, man, are we just like stuck in the past here? Right. I think everybody at some point or another has been sitting around with a friend group and gone, man, haven't we told this story like a million times? Haven't we like laughed at? And it's fun. It is fun. I like doing that. But I also feel that we, in a healthy way, you and I, make a lot of room for new memories. And so the question is how to handle it, right? You don't have to do it the Tony Soprano way, which is the dickish way of being like, reminiscing is the lowest form of conversation. You don't have to say that, right?
Well, you should say, we should switch things up.
Right.
Let's switch things up. Also, we should take some inspiration from our Man of the Year dinner, which is, I don't know if we've mentioned this, but before the dinner starts, we actually go around the room and we do an update on what's going on in our lives. Now, you don't have to do that every time you get a beer with your buddies, but can you put something on the agenda like, hey, let's do a quick, like, what's new as opposed to what's old?
I love that. We do it. I can't believe couldn't think of like a good answer. But you know what's funny? I actually implemented this in practice on a recent dinner with a writer's group of five people. And JMC, of all people, was kind of shitting on it. I got to give him a little crap for that. Because I went around the table and I said, I want to hear what's going on with each of you.
Yeah. And wow, he felt it sound like something that Jeremy would.
Yeah, no, I think he just felt like it was like forced or whatever. But I genuinely wanted to catch up like and hear. And I feel like if each person doesn't get the time to do that, it's almost like you might leave without knowing anything about what's going on.
Right. Right. Interesting.
So it was a great, I think it's a great tip by you.
So you had mentioned something when we were preparing for this episode that was the kind of, we often come back to dating, there are a lot of similarities between friendship and dating. I think one of us said the idea is keeping things fresh, you know, like when you have a spouse and like it was that old trope from Modern Family where they go and they dress up as other role play, whatever. Yep. Is there a keeping fresh version in friendship, keeping things fresh?
Yeah. And I think, you know, we were just talking about earlier on the pod is simple tricks, right? Like if you go to the same restaurant every week, if it's a weekly thing, like maybe switch it up, right? Maybe bring a friend along just to break up the monotony. And then you guys can't tell that same story over and over, right? Maybe this time we got to talk about something different because there's a couple guys here that weren't at that Dave Matthews concert in 1998, right? Yeah. They weren't at Red Rocks.
By the way, that Dave Matthews concert, another famous story from a friend group that I was not there that I've heard a million times. Somebody got thrown out. He argued his way back in, a whole thing.
Right.
Wasn't even there.
And who wants to sit, around listening to other people reminisce?
I want to go. Yeah. I just want to go back to the question. So this guy is sitting around with his buddies. They're reminiscing and he doesn't even remember it. Is that like because it was so inconsequential? He's just lived a life.
Well, that's the thing, right? So I tend to think some of it is just like memory based. Like, do you have a memory for that? But something, I think there's something deeper. You remember what you want to remember. I think we like internally process what we prioritize remembering. And like, to me, I'm not one of those guys that remembers the specifics of a lot of sporting events I went to. Instead, I just kind of like remember the feel and like the enjoyment of it. But I've noticed some friends can be like, man, you remember in the fourth quarter or like, remember in the ninth inning, they made that big comeback. And like, I don't. Like, I got to be honest. Like, and I have a great memory, but I think I choose not to remember that, right? So if somebody was like, hey man, remember that game? And they started like reciting the game, my eyes would just like glaze over. So that being said, I'm just saying like, I think it's okay to not like remember all of these things, you know? But if you're not enjoying being around the reminiscing, like you need to do something about that.
You're going to love this. So you're going to prior to, let's say, I don't know, 2010, when all tickets to sporting events became like virtual or, you know, email or app, I have every ticket to every game I've ever been to. And I actually have written on the back who I went with and what happened.
Wow. I don't know. I shouldn't be surprised. That's very, very in line. But what do you write for what happened?
I haven't even thought about this in decades because we don't have those tickets anymore. I mean, we don't have get physical tickets.
What happened at the game or what happened between you guys?
No, I think it would be more like went with my dad or like went with Matt. Yankees won 3-0, you know, one sentence.
Got it.
I don't even know, that's really cool. Yeah.
That's a great hack to remember. That's awesome because you could be cheating and be like, remember that time? Oh, yeah. You remember the Yankees? Well, maybe that's what a lot of people that I'm talking to are doing.
Yeah.
You know, bullshit. So I guess, have we answered this? Like, what to do about this? What do we think the appropriate move is? You have to be the one to mix it up. If you're the one bothered by it, because the rest of them seem to be totally okay with reminiscing. And a lot of people are. A lot of guys are okay with just every Sunday we get together, we watch football, and we reminisce about the 90s.
Which, by the way, we also don't know that they're all okay with it. They all could be thinking the same thing.
That's right. No. Did you see that commercial that went viral that I sent you? Oh, my God. Not knowing whether somebody's okay, these two guys. Oh, you didn't see this? It's like, I don't know, 100 million views. Yeah. These two older gentlemen are at a soccer match, and one guy seems depressed. And every week his buddy's okay? And his buddy's like, in a great mood. And then it turns out that the guy who was in a great mood is now deceased, presumably.
Right.
Suicide, maybe. And he didn't talk to anybody about it. And it's like, it's never what it looks like.
Yeah.
So you're right. Maybe these guys that are reminiscing are hiding or don't have the tools to keep their friendship dynamic and fresh. And maybe they really want to. I would agree. You're probably right that most people don't want to just sit around and reminisce. They don't want, I'm sure they'd like to add something to that pot.
I think I figured it out, Matt. The reason why that this guy can't remember these memories, because they're fucking making it up because no one remembers it. They don't even know no one wants to be there. So I think he needs to mix things up, but I think he's got to go back to one of the tenets of the podcast, be the friend. He's got to say, hey, next week we're going to do X. We're going to a game. Where he's got to listen, put a little thing in your notes app of a couple of things to talk about. You don't have to show it to anybody.
I love that group of 80-year-old men that were just on the Today Show that we were talking to that have their list.
Yeah. Yeah. But to be fair, like he printed that out, shows it to everybody, and that's cool. You know, not every, you know, you might get ribbed.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah. Right. I don't agree with it. Just write it to yourself. I mean, have you ever back in the day, I mean, even for me now, you're going to call a girl. And you like write down a couple of things to talk about so you don't like throw it.
Everybody do that. And by the way, I do that in my general meetings too. I'm just like, oh, you know what? I want to tell this story or that story.
Oh, yeah,
just to like
of course.
Give a flavor for who I am.
God, what is it like to have a meeting with Matt who's never met him before when he's got a full range of stories to deploy against this hapless person?
Oh, love. Love fest. Love fest galore.
Do you have an opening line? I do.
Never. I'm always in the moment.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we should say to our listeners, a general meeting in Hollywood is when you just get set up with an executive or producer and there's no like real reason besides getting to know you. They say, oh, how are you? Tell me about yourself. And I say, well, I was born on an island. Unfortunately, it was Long Island.
Cheesy, dated.
Dude,
you better not do that at our next pitch meeting.
It crushes because people go, oh, an island. Oh, they start thinking, oh, Hawaii, where's he from?
No, and
they go,
a little misdirect.
Yeah. I'm not telling you my lines anymore, Matt.
No, mine is usually about my baby crying in the background, which is usually what's happening. Sorry, my baby crying.
Even when it's not crying, you have a little box playing it.
I've got the sound. I've got the babies. I actually have recorded him on a 30-second loop. So I think we answered this, right?
Yeah, I think he's got to mix things up. He's got to communicate with his buddies, and he's got to maybe take some ginkgo biloba.
Definitely needs the ginkgo. Are people still using that, or is that like out of vogue?
So I was writing a script with best friend Mike a couple years ago, and I wrote in like ginkgo biloba as like a little joke about someone couldn't remember stuff. And he goes, nobody knows what that means. No one's going to get that reference.
It's out because it's too old.
No, because nobody knows what ginkgo biloba is.
I think he's wrong. I think everybody knows what ginkgo is.
Yeah, I don't know. I did a little.
Liquid Death is now coming out with like powders and stuff that are like they're spreading their brand from like that to like ginkgo bilobas and stuff.
How did we not come up with liquid death?
Water. Everybody needs it. The hot stuff, sleep, water. Damn, it's right in front of our face.
All right. Thank you for that question. That was asking for a friend. If you have a friendship question, send it to us on Instagram and we'll answer it on the show. So let's get back to memories. Anything else you wanted to reminisce about?
We want to reminisce right now for our listeners. Do we want to reminisce?
I was thinking maybe we could talk. I'm curious if you've ever kept a journal or a diary.
Oh yeah. And my mom found it. It was all about who I hooked up with in Europe. I only kept a diary from my study abroad. And it was mostly just my failures on the trying to pick up women abroad.
You would write, hey, like met this girl at a bar in Barcelona. She didn't like me and whatever.
Pretty much. Went to a youth hostel. Hooked up at a youth hostel with Ritiana from Slovakia.
But did you do that? Why did you do that?
Because I was a teenager. I don't know. Why does anybody do anything?
My sister kept
a diary. My sister kept like an old school, like, you know, what was that Claire Danes show? Like that kind of.
My So-Called Life?
Yeah. Like a diary. Doogie Howser level diary. Sarah Jessica Parker diary.
Yeah. Okay. Well, those two aren't. I mean, Sarah Jessica Parker wrote a column. Doogie Howser, he wrote three sentences at the end of every day, which I guess you could call a diary.
They were all diaries. Dear diary.
Right.
Did you?
No. I mean, unless you count the back of sports tickets. And I mean, listen, my iCal, I have notes of every meeting.
Yeah. You have a running diary.
Yeah. Damn. I guess I do have a running diary, but it's not really how I feel, though. Sometimes it is.
Yeah. So
what did your mom say?
It was embarrassing. The whole thing was embarrassing.
How many pages was the diary?
Probably like 30. It wasn't like, you know, a voluminous experience.
But how many did she go through?
No, I think I also like wrote down some museum stuff that I went to and like things that I saw, you know.
Was it I'm going to guess. Was it one of those black and white notebooks?
No, it was a red. It was a red. I think I want to say the funny part is I think my mom got me a diary for my study abroad. And then I just wrote about all the girls I tried to hook up with.
Man, to be,
and then I kept it on the top of, it was so not secure, I just kept it on top of like my wardrobe.
It's kind of screwed up for her to read your diary, though.
Yeah. That's what parents do. Mom. Yeah, right. It was exactly that.
You think you'll read your son's diary if you keep your diary?
Yeah, absolutely.
Without hesitation,
there's no expectation of privacy. No,
I mean, this is not the email policy at Morgan Stanley, this is your family.
It's got to be even stricter on lack of privacy.
So you're saying eighth grade.
My mom wrote a book about how she invaded our privacy. 35 things your kids won't tell you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you, I mean, this is way off topic, but you think that you need to be.
I think she was right.
No, but I'm saying, do you need to disclose to your kids that you're going to be reading everything?
Secretly. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the first way is transparently say, hey, there is no expectation of privacy from us.
But that would maybe discourage someone from writing a diary.
We were never allowed to have door locks even. Did you have a lock on your door?
That's a little different. That's your physical space. This is like your thoughts. But by the way, I agree. If you could probably learn a lot about your kid if he or she's in distress or getting bullied, right, or
your kid's safety is paramount, well above their expectations of privacy. I think, I don't know, to a certain age,
but maybe,
I mean, I'm going to chip Brenner.
I don't know. We went, you know,
I'm going to chip him and, you know, I'll know every which move.
You know what you got to do is you got to get the things that not only like tracks the phone, but it tracks the keystrokes.
Every,
so even if he types in the least,
is going to show up on my screen.
But even if he doesn't hit enter, he types in like how to bury a draft. Dead body and then delete.
Oh, his drafts, his draft folder is my computer.
His draft folder.
That's really like Mission Impossible. I don't know. I haven't decided yet on my parenting technique, but he should have a low to zero expectation of privacy. Let's put it that way.
So what do we learn today besides the Ritter family motto is no privacy?
None.
Goes.
Zero.
Yeah.
I think we learned, frankly, everybody gets a little tired of just reminiscing. We enjoy it. I think it's great. I think it's healthy to do it. It's fun. It's nice. But I think everybody gets tired of it at some point. So I think our listener helped us spur the whole topic, which is you got to keep it fresh.
I was just going to say an old friendship, much like an old romantic relationship, needs to be spiced up every once in a while. It needs to be mixed things up. And it might be incumbent on you to do the spicing and the mixing. All right. We nailed
you
it.
Know,
what a, yes. Oh, you he's did. Back. Matt's back.
No, I was going to say you nailed it. I was just going to say that movie that I thought was great. I don't know if you thought it was boring. The Colin Farrell one last year where the two best friends. And then he just decides he doesn't want to be friends with them anymore. He just got bored of his friend.
Yeah. Banshees of what is it?
Banshees of Inisherin. Banshees of Inisherin. I thought it was a phenomenal movie, but it was very simple. The premise was just like one friend got bored of the other one, and they were like the only people in the town. And it just, it was a nutso movie.
All right, I'll have to check it out. So that's our show. Thank you guys for listening. Remember, be good to yourself, be good to your friends. Love you, buddy.
Love you, buddy.